He doesn't reveal anything to you in that 24 hours or whatever. That's okay. You have still spent time with the Lord and communicated with him and asked him to begin to reveal those things to you. And it will be quiet and it won't be loud and crazy. And you may then 3 days later be like, oh, I feel this way about how I've talked to somebody, or, and just instantly going, oh Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for reminding me in that moment. Like, you may have needed that encounter with someone to reveal your heart to you, but your eyes are now more focused on that and you're more aligned with the Lord and be able to hear what he has to say to you.
And we're here just to be professional on the Coastline Covenant podcast. If if someone was going to describe this podcast as one thing, I don't think professional would be the word, but I appreciate anything I can do to fake professionalism.
Sure. It's a good time. That's what it is.
And in this season of AI, where like everybody's talking about AI, I can't tell you how many times I've told people how long it takes me to edit the podcast, how much work it is to put some nice things to make it sound better. And they say, well, just use AI. Michael even yesterday said that you should just use AI, but I don't trust AI. Not in the iRobot, it's going to be my overlord, but like in the, the AI is not part of the Coastline family.
No. Good point. Thank you. I like that. I'm actually really here for that.
Yeah. Could you use AI to fast? It could tell you like when to stop eating, when to start eating. I'm sure that's out there. There's some AI CrossFit app that tells you like when to why. You know what I mean?
I'm sure there is. I feel like putting AI in the place of the Holy Spirit is probably not your best bet.
No. Well, okay. We could talk about that another time. Sure. I mean, you have to ask yourself, like, following your heart is not good advice, right? Like following your heart in partnership with the Holy Spirit is good advice, but is your heart on its own fallible? And where it's fallible, is AI not?
Oh, geez.
You know, these are the questions we get into here on the professional podcast. Well, I'm excited. As you can tell, the chemistry is off the charts. The laughs are already started. I am here with returning champion. And when I asked you to come on, returning champion, Melinda Hurley, to talk about the thing that just is so funny because I've known you for so long. And as I think about how long I've known you and how our relationship is, the fasting expert is a new title for you.
Very.
But we'll take it.
Not sure how I got that title, but returning champion did make me giggle when you texted me that.
Returning fasting champion. Yeah. When did Garrick last year, or when did anybody last year come to you and say, hey, you're the fasting girl? And was there like a, thank you, I feel seen, or what are you talking about?
No, I was terrified when he asked me to do that last year. I love to fast. It is a discipline I've been practicing for a long time. So I'm pretty sure Sean must have thrown me under the bus in some meeting and said that. And then Garrick's like, great.
So yeah, let's go back to last year a second. We talked a lot about it on the podcast and then people did it. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know if you remember, but we had an egg stuffing party in the fellowship hall last year. And I went down with the mic and people came in and they talked about it. And that was really exciting. But I don't think you and I have checked in since then. How do you feel like last year the fast went, especially like what surprised you about people's involvement and willingness to jump in?
It was amazing. In fact, in the way that everybody jumped in, or more people jumped in than I expected to. And I think that even surprised some of the people. They were just like, yeah, I'll try it. And they either liked it or were surprised by how they felt.
Yeah.
And I know at our community group, few people did 3 day, most did one or two, a couple just did meals, and it was fine. But like, we were ready to break our fast, but everyone in the community group did it on some level. And it was really, some of them was their very first time. Some people, their whole family, like kids, did it in a certain way. And that was a fun experience for everybody. I was just really proud of everyone for just trying a new discipline.
The smile on your face is so, it makes me smile to see you excited about it. And I love, again, you're here. Did anybody come to you afterwards, like months, weeks later, and say, hey, I'm fast again this week? Like, you were the person that they wanted to tell?
No one came and told me that. Uh-huh. So, but also I feel like fasting is one of those things that it also says, like, don't tell other people you're doing
it. Look at you.
So, or look at me, I did it again. So,
Wait, we should end the podcast then, because it's going to be,
I know,
out you.
Okay. That's also the part where I'm like, please don't call me the fasting queen.
Okay. All right. My bad. So people aren't coming to you and being like, hey, I'm fasting again.
Right. But I'm hoping either that experience last year will help people to jump in and do it again this year. Or there have been people who have done it again, and maybe they'll tell us after this podcast.
Fingers crossed. Well, I know for a fact that people jumped in afterwards. I know I did. I did a day fast last year, mm-hmm. and I loved it. It was such an interesting experience for my body just mm-hmm. to be like in a state of need when I had food always available, right? Like right. we don't live in an area where food is scarce, and that's a blessing obviously, but like to actually turn off part of my brain where it's like, you have to eat right now. Mm-hmm. That was something that I carried with me throughout the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting to think about doing it again this year mm-hmm. because I wonder if there's someone out there being like, I did it last year. I don't need to do it this year. There's nothing else out there for me in fasting. Totally. What would you say to that person?
I think there is places we start in our journey and our relationship with God and pressing into the disciplines he's given us. There's always going to be something for you. And so whether it is health and physical or whether it is just aligning yourself and being able to listen in a different way, pressing in a little bit more than last time or even the same is going to be a blessing to you and grow, I don't know, your relationship with him.
Yeah, I guess a question then that comes up from that comment is, what is the connection in your brain or your heart, or how would you understand the connection between like giving something up and then connecting to God?
That's a good question. Giving something up for me is how, or connecting to God, it's clearing all of the clutter or making things as simple as possible. We're just inundated with so much in our lives, our culture, food being available everywhere, and just access to literally everything all of the time. So being able to just really consolidate that or push things away and simplify, even if it's not prepping, eating, or cleaning up food, for a family of six, that is a chunk of my day.
Yeah.
So if I can take that out and there is a focus of communicating with my Savior and enjoying him or having conversation with him and focusing on relationship or aligning, just listening to what he wants to say, that is going to deepen my relationship with him because it is a focused time.
I love that. And I think there's so much to be said about, we think these spiritual disciplines is safe for like pastors and like monks where, well, I'm not in that, I'm not in a monastery, so I can't do X, Y, or Z, or mm-hmm. I don't have a PhD in theology, so I don't know why I'm doing it. But you made a comment, a family of six, and I don't mean to say this in any sort of negative way, but like fasting can be a very quote domestic spiritual practice where you can practice it at home in your life, regardless of how many kids you have or don't have. Fasting is a way for you to connect with your Savior. I love that. And I think that the accessibility is maybe what scares people a little bit. I could just give something up. Yeah. You know, I could just give something up. And I think about Lent, especially the big cosmic giving up the chocolate or the this or the that. And I love that this idea of the food fast that we're inviting people into is a little bit of a microcosm of that. This 1 week, you can do 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, hope not, days of fasting.
You do you.
You do you. Where you are mirroring this big thing of giving up something for Lent. Have you given up anything for Lent this year?
I did.
We haven't asked anybody this on the podcast
yet. Oh, yeah, you're right. I gave up procrastination for Lent.
Oh, gosh. How has that been happening for you?
My husband would say it's epic. It's been great. I've given myself, if I have a thought or something that comes in that I need to do, I've given myself 48 hours of when it goes in my planner. And except for calling a new insurance company, most all things have been checked off and done. There was just something when I asked the Lord what I needed to give up. There's just a bad habit I have that. And it's been really good to take it to him and be like, hey, I'm procrastinating on this, or I have this thing to do. And I have had that be a relationship. It's weird how much it comes up in my life, the things that I need to do and don't want to do, because we all have them.
Did someone say to you, you procrastinate, or is this something that you have identified over time?
It's something I've identified over time, and maybe in the last 6 months have been like, hey, man, get it together.
And in your most self-critical moments of procrastination, I shouldn't be doing this, Melinda, I keep screwing up. What were the circumstances in your own heart to lead you to that conclusion?
I would fall asleep maybe like anxious because I hadn't done the thing. And then I'm carrying this tax of anxiety with me when I could have just nailed it, been done with it, moved on with my life, and had whatever God had for me next. So I'm trying to just be like, if I'm asked to do something, do it, get it done, and don't be like paying for it in other ways until the time is done.
And what I'm trying to get at here is you recognizing in a state of vulnerability with yourself and before God, what needs to go or what you should give up in this season. And I think that that's the big question with Lent, but like someone listening to this podcast, this might be your invitation. Mm-hmm. There is that thing in the way, and fasting this week with Coastline is a microcosm of that.
Yeah.
It's you saying, I'm going to give up something for 1, 2, 3 days, food.
Right.
And I hope that I can connect myself deeper to what God is doing. Because we were talking before we started recording about how fasting doesn't necessarily lead to a breakthrough every time. And I think we'll talk a little bit about that. But sometimes it's just you connecting yourself to a voice that you haven't been listening to in a long time because you've been so distracted. Not necessarily by food, but food is representative of that. But Melinda, what would you say to the person listening who says, like, I fasted last year, but nothing happened?
That is a totally normal experience.
Right.
I think many of us fast for the first time and we like get our cup of water or tea and we like sit there and we're like, okay, I'm ready. And that is, I think, like I said, totally normal. And God is smiling and honoring that as well. But if quote unquote nothing happened, I just think that is a feeling that didn't happen. There is still a relationship or a communication that happened with you and God.
That was so well put. And I think that as many notes or thoughts or verses I could put down, the way you just said it is absolutely perfect. There's something to glean, whether or not you felt it. And I think that when we get these emotional responses or lack thereof, we just think God's not working.
Right.
And isn't it funny that there's an emotion that we've labeled called hangry?
Yeah. Seriously.
And in your hangriness during fasting, you might really not feel God working, but what if that's him actually working?
Yeah, he's drawing your attention back to him because you've given up that one thing. And so, again, if you can clear that food noise and ask him to, you are having that relationship with him.
Clearing the food noise is something that, you know, you can do with us at Coastline, but also you can do anytime throughout the year. Melinda, what would you say to the person who's like, I can't do it this week? So let me give you a personal example.
Okay.
This upcoming Sunday, in the time of this recording, I have to go for a really long walk.
And it's really long, man.
And I should probably eat something before, certainly during, and definitely after this long walk. But I really want to fast with Coastline, but maybe this is not the week to do it. What would you say to me?
There's a couple of things. One, definitely this very long walk of yours, please do not fast before, during, and even a couple of days after.
Certainly.
Choose another day.
Yeah.
Choose another day or choose another thing or just do a meal. You know, there's multiple fasts, and we will talk about that a little bit later, of exactly what you can do. But don't fast if you can't fast from food or you're taking a medication that you really have to have. Usually it's fats. Choose something else. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of other things you can do. And if I can say it, ask God what he wants you to fast. He will tell you. He's never going to be like, oh, I don't care. Like, if you ask him, he's always wants to communicate those things to you.
What I'm trying to have us articulate in a way is that this isn't the silver bullet, right? This isn't like, okay, if you give up food for this day, because your church asked you to, all your spiritual problems are going to be solved. Like, it's not just this, it's a practice. It's a rhythm to step into. And I guess something I'm curious about is, how have you in your own brain, in your own heart, been able to reconcile that? Like, fasting for 3 days doesn't always equal the breakthrough that I may be looking for. How do you say it's still worth it then?
For me, when I do choose a time to fast that isn't with my church specifically, it is usually, like I said a little bit before, it's clearing out all the other clutter because I do have something big I'm either taking to Jesus or trying to get clarity on or focus, or I've just realized like I'm out of control with my schedule and my busyness and whatever, and I just need to create some time and cut some things from my life that are going to help me focus on that. And food is just, it's a very simple one that we need every single day. And also, I think I've said this probably in last year's podcast, but like, God asked us to fast, and it is good for our bodies to clear all that too. Like, science is pointing to God once again. Like, it is good for you and healthy for you to do. So this isn't something that needs to happen just once a year with the Coastline family. It is something you can do at different points when you're like, I feel disconnected from God. I have just too cluttered my life and my schedule and everything else. And or I have something specific I want to take to the Lord and really wrestle with it. But I think doing a fast together as Coastline and as a church. It's going to be a good experience for all of us. And I would love for us as family to look over the last two sermon series.
Mm-hmm. Surviving the South Bay in layers.
And just kind of use that as a guide. If you're looking for like, okay, what am I going to do? Good grief. 24 hours is a really long time. I kind of want to make it even bigger for a minute. Like there is revival happening in various places in the world. I'm talking worlds now. And we've even had seen like college campuses. There's been three college campuses, Asbury, Auburn, Florida State in the last year. Huge revival and people coming to the Lord and hundreds being baptized. And there are a few of us who have been praying for revival for the South Bay since we were praying on Facebook online in 2020. What a time. And what I have learned this year, and even through these last couple sermon series at Coastline, is I used to think revival was just praying for the people in the South Bay or praying for the world or praying for revival for the church and then wanting to watch a miracle happen. And that's part of it. But the bigger part I've learned is that coming to the Lord in confession and repentance personally and communally is actually what brings revival or what is happening in the church. So that said about the greater church, Coastline, in looking through surviving the South Bay, pride, pleasure, appearances, family, idolatry. I might be missing one of them. Looking at like the generational sins that are like here in the South Bay and which of those kind of pushed on a nerve with you and just setting this time aside to look at those and repent, bring up confession of your own life, the layer series, how it is like, can we sit in the weeds and really dig up those roots? And it's not just us, but doing that with the Lord. And so if during this food fast there you need some focus, I highly recommend just kind of going through those sermons or notes or whatever and spending time asking the Lord, what does he want to uproot in you? Will he help you do that? And then even going out further, what are the other generational sins we've seen in the South Bay, in our lives, in our family? And then we can repent for our community and just asking God to come in and fill those holes in the South Bay.
Yeah, there's a lot in there that I love that you said. I mean, it was really, really powerful to hear your heart. I also really like the idea of all of us doing this together mm-hmm. for no other end other than closeness with God.
Mm-hmm.
Not fasting for a building.
Right.
Not fasting for more money in the budget. Not fasting mm-hmm. for more people. To right. come to Coastline, but fasting for our own closeness mm-hmm. with God. And I think that this comes up all the time, but when there's no bottom line, it's really hard to do something. And there's so little in Christianity that has a bottom line that you can actually see.
Right.
There's a lot of growth and a lot of transformation that happens in a life following Jesus, but it takes a long time. And fasting, I think, because it's 2 or 3 days or one meal or whatever, for 40 days, if you're thinking of Lent, you think, oh, because it's so short, I'm going to get a fast result.
Right.
But it doesn't necessarily always work that way. But I hear you saying like Coastline developing a rhythm of fasting to lead to whatever revival might look like at some point. And I think you see a revival in scripture. We're going through Exodus right now in youth group, and you don't see Moses ever really reaping the benefits of the story of Exodus, but the people of Israel do. And for fasting for this season, it's like, well, I want to fast because I want this to happen for me now. But what if you don't experience it? It's a little bit of a fast. You're fasting from instant results. You're fasting from whatever might be helping you feel better, whatever. But what's really funny is that is exactly what you said in the beginning. It's God telling you what you need to give up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all connected.
All connected.
Isn't that cool? That's really cool. And I like that you connected it to surviving the South Bay, because that's an interesting spiritual counter to surviving the South Bay.
Yeah.
So if someone were to say to you, hey, I went back and I listened to all the surviving the South Bay mm-hmm. and I heard about greed. How do you think I can fast from greed?
Yeah, I think you can totally be thinking that. So in a food fast, God brings up greed, like, hey, man, that's something that you probably want to take a look at. So I think during a food fast, God will end up revealing things to you from your heart. So greed's something we need to work on. And then you can decide like later or for the rest of Lent, if you want, like, I'm going to give up greed. How would you do that? Those thoughts are going to pop up in your head. And that is when the thought happens, it's quickly turning to the Lord and or even a friend. Like, hey, I am thinking this way, or I want these things, or I'm wanting to hold on to this in my life. I'm just letting you know, because now I'm going to focus on it. I think fasting sometimes from food or other basic needs will reveal the other things in your life.
Yes, I agree with that. I agree with that. And I guess you said in there, God will reveal of that. And I believe that's probably true. But what if he doesn't?
That's okay. I guess I want to make sure I say that too. If he doesn't reveal, I'm going to use air quotes and you can't see them. If he doesn't reveal anything to you in that moment or in that 24 hours or whatever, that's okay. You have still spent time with the Lord and communicated with him and asked him to begin to reveal those things to you. And it will be quiet and it won't be loud and crazy. And you may then 3 days later be like, oh, I feel this way about, I feel icky with how I've talked to somebody, or, and just instantly going, oh Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for reminding me in that moment. Like, you may have needed that encounter with someone to reveal your heart to you, but your eyes are now more focused on that and you're more aligned with Lord and be able to hear what he has to say to you.
From Soren Kierkegaard, a famous philosopher, Christian philosopher. He talks about fasting as stripping oneself of all that is full of noise to be hidden in silence. And I like that quote because in my experience of fasting, it is actually the opposite. The noise is so loud because it's just me listening to the deficit. Yeah. I'm so hungry. I miss Facebook, which I would never say, but you know what I mean? I'm trying to align myself with someone who gave up social media for Lent. So when someone is fasting and we talk about silence, but they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. It's very loud for me.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to that person?
If you're giving up food, you're going to have time on your hands and it can be deafeningly loud. Like you said, if you're like going, oh, I just want to go through In-N-Out, or I'm starving, or I'm working from home, the cookies are right there. And complaining is a thing that I think sometimes happens during Lent or during fasting when you first start out, and that's okay. But filling it with something, go for a walk, listen to worship music, talk with a friend, do other things that are maybe will quiet the noise, but you can also still be communicating with your Father. You have to replace it with something. If you have a silent void, if you love silence and that works for you, or you have built up a tolerance or a stamina for having silence, that will be great. If you haven't, do your daily life and do something in place of when you would be eating.
Again, with that language of microcosm, you do that for 2 days, 4 or 5 times a year, it will begin to be like a muscle.
Yes.
And then in the bigger things, when you are seeking silence and that noise comes back, you've built in a rhythm to say, oh, I'm not going to do that right now. I don't need to listen to that right now. Or I know what to do in this situation. And I think that's why it's really cool that we're inviting people into this, not just for 3 days, but this is hopefully going to establish some sort of rhythm, some sort of connection for the rest of your Christian life. And Melinda, that's why we come to you, the returning champion, because this is something that, you know, it's a little bit of a rhythm in your life. And so I want to ask you a question. When you're fasting, especially doing a food fast, what do you feel generally? What do you specifically feel?
Usually I do become very quiet and kind of introverted and introspective. And I really try to carve out time in those days where I can be quiet. And often that's for me waking up early and or the rare times I'm completely home alone that I get to like be quiet and do that. But I feel the same as everybody else. Like I'm going to feel my hunger pains and I'm going to feel like a little bit hangry or like on edge when somebody's asked me a question for the 18th time or, you know, whatever it is, like all of those things will happen and I try and refocus. But there's kind of can be a roller coaster of emotions and things you feel along the way.
How easy is it for you to jump into that replacement mindset then? Does it take like a couple times?
Yeah.
Or is it like, oh, the second I feel hungry, I associate that with needing to listen to worship music or whatever.
Yeah. For me now, because this has been a practice and a discipline, it's much easier than it used to be.
Yeah.
When you're first starting out, it's a practice, you guys. Like it is a discipline that we practice. It's not a come be perfect. It's come practice it. And if you're not perfect, that's okay. And you just keep learning what you're learning along the way.
And it's just going back to this thing. And I'm really glad this keeps coming up of like practice and no bottom line and like fasting for 3 days is not going to potentially solve all of your problems, but it's going to provide a perspective shift that when you know, oh, I need to reconnect with God or I need to give something up. You have a different rhythm and a different way of thinking about it. And I really think that that is something that I've loved about the Layer series, that like we're encouraging people to holistically think about introducing one thing that will help them walk in more wholeness. And this week with fasting is such a tangible one. This is probably the easiest, most tangible one. We're not asking you to sign up for spiritual direction. There's no retreat. Like, just, you don't have to eat for a meal or as much as 3 days, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I really, really like. But I think that there's also, you kind of talked about before you answered this personal question, generally, the emotional response to like being hungry. But like, do you ever find people are just like emotionally resistant to the idea of food fast?
Yeah, they don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Like it's hard. It sounds hard. Mm-hmm. And it is hard. And I mean, there's the whole kind of movement of intermittent fasting right now. So people are a little more open to it because they know like, oh, I'm not going to die if I don't eat breakfast or, you know, whatever. But there are people who are like, no, I have one person in my family who's like, no, he eats to live. Like it's an annoyance that he has to stop and eat. Some people are like that, and maybe a food fast will be easy except for the hangry part that will come. But there are people who just focus on food all the time, and that there is emotional response of like, even me personally, I will be thinking about what I'm going to be cooking people or the time it will take to prep it or the amount of space that in my brain that food takes is a lot. And I can get panicky of like, okay, but if I'm supposed to be focusing on God and all this stuff right now, anyway.
I think it's so cool that you're able to connect it, not just with the physiological hunger, but just like your life as a mother and the role that you have is someone who has to think a lot about providing meals for people. And that can get in the way.
Totally.
But it's so necessary for you to feed your family. And that's not bad. But to be able to take space for yourself to say, I want to use that time instead to think about connecting with God, I think is powerful. And it's a way that you can kind of show up for yourself in partnership with God. I love that. And I want to invite people into that of like, you know what, if you're a mom or a dad or you are a caretaker of some sort and providing meals for people is a part of your life and thinking about food is something that happens a lot and then you're not going to eat for a couple of days or a couple of meals or whatever, I know that's going to be very challenging and difficult, but God is also calling you into something else. I really like that image. I didn't even think about how you could probably not eat for a couple of meals, but like Chapman's got to eat.
But yeah, but then there's, I think even like the rhythm of me doing this, I don't want this to sound weird, but like I now, when I make meals for other people, like I am praying for them.
Yeah.
I am connecting with the Lord about like cooking has become like
a spiritual discipline.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Now it's become that in my own heart.
Yeah. And that's a cool thing that fasting has led you to. And something that I bet if the first time you fasted however many years ago, someone came to you and said, what's going to happen is your relationship to food is not going to be like you're going to be this uber healthy person. I'm not saying you're not, but it's going to be you making food and praying for people. And you're like, what? That sounds so weird. That all fasting so just for that. But it's probably turned into a really big blessing in your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in others.
I hope so.
Yeah. What is the role of a community in fasting? Because again, we talked about there's the verse where it's like, do it in secret.
Right.
And it's like, okay, I don't want to talk about fasting with my community group, but like my church is doing it. So what's the role of a community in fasting then?
I love that we do this together. And I mean, you can look at the scripture and you know, like it's not to brag. So if we're doing this together, it's not that we're not bragging to each other or the world. We're practicing, a spiritual discipline together. And it's just good to encourage each other, in moving forward. And like, yeah, I know it's hard, but we don't even necessarily need to talk about how hard it is all the time. But it is good to be like, hey, God did speak to me in this way. And if God's feeling kind of silent to me, I can still be stoked he's talking to you and encouraging you, and I can begin to pray for you. So I know we'll talk about the specifics, but on the Zooms, on the nights that people are fasting, we're just going to have a Zoom open and people can jump on and we can talk about it and encourage each other and pray together if we want to. I think it is important to do this as a community because Coastline family is great. And I really love when we do things together and it's fun to encourage each other.
Yeah. And there's the balance between bragging and commiserating. You're not like, oh, this sucks. I hate my church. I hate that I'm not eating. But you're also not like, dude, I'm going to be so ripped after Thursday. You know, there's a balance here of supporting and doing something alongside
each other.
And that's why we break it in community groups.
Exactly.
So what is your like tip for a community group trying to break the fast? Is it like start with just a piece of bread, get that stomach working again? Or if you're not eating a whole rack of ribs, you're not breaking your fast right.
Right. So that's really funny. So we are going to do breaking of fast in community groups, which will happen Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And we can, depending on how long you want to do it, and start your fast anytime along the way. So in your community group, for me, I don't want to cook for my entire community group while I'm ending my fast.
Yeah, that's like, tough. That's
it's going to be a few days and whatever. I'm going to cook for my family those first few days, and then they're going to have to microwave their own thing. But we're going to go out to dinner together, and anyone else who wants to come is welcome to join us. But if you are going to break your fast with your community group or even on your own, it's ideal to start slow and not have a whole loaf of bread right away, because your stomach is going to have shrunk a little bit and you're going to get full very quickly. So I remember there was someone in our community group last year, and he totally just went for it, and he had to leave before it was over because his stomach hurt so bad.
Couldn't do it.
So definitely go slow, but you know, you can have whatever you want.
I like the idea of, like, in the Bible times, people fasting and then they break their fast together and Jesus is like, hey, slow down. It's like, okay, what do you know?
I know, it's like, right?
Someone will have to leave this table tonight.
Right, exactly.
And it's not because of betrayal. It's because of their stomach. Mentioned that there are going to be Zooms.
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about that, and what's the heart behind that? Because, I mean, right, again, we've just off air, you know, happy 4-year anniversary of COVID. Zoom is a tough one for us sometimes to get our handle on. So what is the point of a Zoom? What's the heart behind the Zoom? And then what are they going to be?
Totally. So the heart behind the Zoom is just to, the first one, which will be Sunday night, the 17th. That's just, I'm going to go over kind of basics of fasting and like what you can expect physically, emotionally, spiritually, just so if there's people for the first time or have questions or anything like that, that's what that will be. Although some of the people who are breaking their fast earlier in the week will already be fasting at that point. So I believe we have Zooms Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
You just gave me a look that I imagine Nikki gets every day from us of like, is that what's happening?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. I don't mean that. I'm just like, hey, everyone, check your app before
we'll put
you...
it in the, we'll put it in the show notes.
Perfect.
We'll have more information for
Perfect.
You.
Perfect. And that's just for everyone. Jump on. You can jump on every single night. You can jump on the nights you are fasting. You can jump on the nights before you fast. Mm-hmm. But coming together and us praying corporately, one, for each other in the growth of our personal connection with the Lord is amazing. Seeing someone else do something that you're doing is always encouraging. I always just want to cheer us on to do something a little bit new, a little bit harder, a little bit, just press in a little bit more with Jesus. And so on those nights, we are going to get together and we are going to encourage each other, answer questions, pray together.
Something that I think we've talked about, but we've not directly said, there's such a spiritual component to fasting.
Yeah.
It's not just a vain exercise in how little you can eat and how, you know, well you can live your life. I think that's something that happens. I didn't eat today. Look how fast I can run or whatever. I mean, that's what I would say. But it turns into like a little bit of a contest with yourself and your ego. But when you sit on that Zoom and you pray with somebody and you pray and you hear from the Spirit, you're like, oh, this is not about how I feel physically.
Right.
And we said that in the beginning. So there are Zooms going on throughout the week, but most importantly, it's the fast. And so what do you recommend people do? Is it we're not eating dinner and then we're going to sleep? Is it eat dinner, go to bed? Is it, you know, so like pragmatically, how do you think a successful fast starts?
Yeah. So there are a couple of kinds of fasts. If you want to do what they call a bridegroom fast, which is one meal a day and you're focused on whatever, if there's something specifically you want to focus on, if you're going to sit in your car during your lunch hour or, you know, fast from a meal you don't normally fast from. If you are an intermittent faster who doesn't eat breakfast, I don't know that missing breakfast is the meal you want to skip. But, you know, you talk to Jesus about that. So if you want to do one meal a day for 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, great. That is called a bridegroom fast. Totally do that. Easy. If you're going to fast for an entire day, which you can do, I just want to encourage you on here. You can do that.
You can.
You totally can. Hunter did it, so everybody can do it. I would encourage you to not eat dinner at night. Go to sleep, wake up, and continue your fast through breakfast and lunch, and then break your fast 24 hours later or for dinner that night.
So you're not recommending a breakfast to breakfast?
I am not recommending a breakfast to breakfast. It's just a little bit harder. Mm-hmm. You totally can. Yeah. There's no magic in it. You can do lunch to lunch. It doesn't matter. There is just something about the rhythm of your body and sleeping and all of that, it typically is a little bit easier if you're just starting out to go dinner to dinner. And then if you're doing multiple days, you know, continue to go dinner to dinner.
What should people be doing if they're doing a full day or multi-day fast, like water intake in terms of like any kind of nutrition help?
Yeah. So please keep drinking your water. Super important. Tea, anything that doesn't break your fast, which means up your sugar, and I don't need to get all the technical stuff up for it. If you are a coffee drinker, please drink your cup of coffee. You do not need to deal with a caffeine headache. It just makes it harder.
Where are you at with cream milk?
It's best to go with black coffee while you're doing this. Anything over 40 grams will kick you out of fat burn or out of a fasting state. I'm not legalistic though, so like you do you.
Water. How much water?
So, I mean, ideally you're drinking, every adult is drinking 80 ounces of water a day anyway.
Totally.
So at least do that. Often I think when people are fasting, they need something to do. And so you're going to drink more water than you thought. Have some tea. That's totally fine too. Electrolytes. If you're an electrolyte person, I highly, highly recommend having some electrolytes
but
in your water. But not Liquid IV.
Which is the most popular brand.
So much sugar, unless they just came out the sugar-free version.
I saw it at Costco yesterday.
It was pretty good.
That it was amazing. Yeah, yes. It was really good. I recommend Element Tea.
Element Tea is great.
It's so good. Yep. It's like heavier in salt.
Yep.
But there's no sugar and does not kick you out of your fast. And it has caffeine in it. So 20 milligrams.
I didn't know it had caffeine in it.
Yes, it does. So, I guess the ones I do.
Have both. But yeah, highly recommend that, especially if you're getting a headache. So if you are doing a 1 day, 2 day, or 3 day fast, please expect that you will probably get a headache. It is your sodium levels that are plummeting. So that's where electrolytes are super helpful. Or if you want to just drink some salt water, you totally can. But you should expect a little bit of a headache. That's why I always say have some coffee. So you know it's not a caffeine headache. You know what it is and you can keep moving.
Are there any headache pain relievers that you could take on an empty stomach?
You can take Tylenol on an empty stomach and it won't kill you, but I would go with electrolytes or some sort of sodium first.
Got it.
The other thing that's really great to have on hand, and especially, or I'll say for me, if I do a 3 day fast, I will have a cup of bone broth for dinner because I sit down with my family for dinner still. And so I have a cup of bone broth. A cup of bone broth will also have enough sodium and electrolytes to curb your headache. So you could have that earlier in the day if you do have a headache that comes on.
That's good to know. Mm-hmm. That's really good to know.
I didn't mean to cut you off. No, there's a liquid fast. And so it's still under 40 grams. So you're not really kicking yourself out of a fasting state. But
you're not fasting from liquid.
You definitely do not want to fast
food
from liquid.
Fast from food. Liquid fast, drink liquid.
Yes.
I don't want anybody to hear it and be like, sweet, I only ate ribs.
Oh, Lord.
I didn't have a sip of water for 3 days. I just ate ribs and just whole dry electrolytes.
Whole other situation at that point.
That would be amazing. That would be really, really funny. And I guess my last question, Melinda, would be spiritually, you know, there's a lot of pragmatic things we can do to have a successful fast physically, but spiritually, what would you say, you know, someone listening to this maybe before Sunday, before they're fasting, what are some things that you would tell them spiritually to help them have their fast start in a successful way?
So in the next few days, ask God what you want what he wants you to be fasting from. Or are there things he's going to prep you or bring up in the next few days that you really can be talking to him about? I would also say go in expectantly. Like, I'm a very visual person. So when I get chance to go be quiet or be alone with God, like he's standing there waiting to go on a walk with me. Like, and I picture where he is in the room. And if you are visual or have an imagination, like, where is he in the room? And just talk to him. He's waiting for you to do this fast. And not in a, like, you should be, but in a, like, hey, I want to hang out. So just kind of picture where he is in that and be expectant that he's there and wants to hang out with you and wants to spend time with you. And so whether it feels quiet or whether you get a giant revelation or somewhere in between, just you get to be in his presence. And you get to feel that however you get to feel that. And whatever he brings up, you get to give back to him. And it's going to be great. I'm already really proud of you.
Well, I can't wait. I can't wait to fast at some point. I'll have to check my calendar, but yes. I'll fast at some point. Just me fainting. Just like not.
Hunter, I will.
But I mean, that's actually a good ending point of like, this doesn't have to just be for Lent.
No.
This doesn't just have to be for a big spiritual breakthrough. This can just be, hey, what is the connection that you've had with God lately? Mm-hmm. Do you feel like it could be better? What's in the way? Cut it out.
Cut it out.
Cut it out. Is that what they'd said on Full House?
It out.
That's it right there. TGIF. Well, thank God it's fasting. Hey, that's why this is a professional podcast. Full circle moment, Melinda. It's full circle to have you back as a returning champion. And next year, I'm excited for us to try to find more things to talk about with fasting. Because I feel like after two, we've done it. We'll have something better next year. Maybe next year we can podcast at the height of our hangriness.
There you go. We'll be here in the middle of it.
That's a pretty good idea, actually. Maybe we should. And I'm going to be really excited to hear the stories that come out of this.
Yeah, that
and thank
would be
you
great.
So much for taking point. I appreciate it. And I love that you come on and you're able to help people a little bit beforehand, give them a little bit of a cheat sheet, and then also walk with them during and afterwards.
Totally. Come say hi to me on Zoom.
And come say hi to her on Zoom and in person.
In
if
person,
you're
really,
I'll be there. Really hungry. No, Melinda is too.
Yes.
That's really special. Well, thank you for listening. And hey, get out there and enjoy nothing.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all.